to read, and we're going to read this evening from 2 Samuel and chapter 22. Second Samuel chapter 22. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the darkness before him were coals of fire kindled. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea were appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered, at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquities. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." And so on, and we look to the Lord to grant to us understanding and blessing from that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship, turning this time to sing from a portion of Psalm 105. Psalm 105, and we're singing from the beginning of that psalm. Give thanks to God, call on his name, to men his deeds make known. Sing ye to him, sing psalms, proclaim his wondrous works each one. See that ye in his holy name to glory do accord. And let the heart of everyone rejoice that seeks the Lord. The Lord Almighty and his strength with steadfast heart seek ye. His blessed and his gracious face seek ye continually. Think on the works that he hath done, which admiration breed, his wonders and the judgments all which from his mouth proceed. O ye that are of Abraham's race, his servant well approven, and ye that Jacob's children are, whom he chose for his own. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6, give thanks to God. Would you turn back with me then tonight to... Will you turn back with me tonight to our passage there in 2 Samuel chapter 22? And as we were thinking this morning of worship and the way in which we anticipate, be excited as we come to worship, I want us to think just of verse 1 there. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And then verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. As I indicated there this morning, we were thinking of this simple theme of being excited about worship and of meeting with God and listening to what God has to say, gathering in the church in his presence and underneath his word. And there this morning in Psalm 34, we were looking at a very broad picture of David's life as he looked back over his own days. But here tonight, David does a very similar thing of reflection. But he's now looking back in a very specific area. He's thinking particularly of the way in which God has saved him and kept him. In all of the pursuit of Saul against him, all the chasing and the hostilities that were exhibited against him, the way in which God has kept him and brought him to be king and established him in his rule over God's people and nation. And as he looks back over these things that have happened to him, so again, he pours out his soul in praise. He pours it out in worship to his God. The setting of these words is given to us there in verse 1, after he had been delivered from the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And in a sense, David is doing something here which we find very hard to do ourselves. It's very hard for any one of us to say, sorry. It's very hard for any one of us to say, I got it wrong. But that's exactly the sum of what David is doing in this chapter. When you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1, he says there, one day I am going to perish at the hand of Saul. That's the way in which he was looking at his life. That's the way everything seemed to be getting on top of him. That's the way he felt crushed. There was no way out for him. He didn't see a way of escape. And he was being drawn relentlessly to that one conclusion. One day, Saul is going to get me. And he had to do something. And he ran to be associated with the Philistines. David wasn't seeing straight. And David wasn't thinking straight. He sunk so low. When you come to 1 Samuel 27, move on to chapter 29. There you find that the Amalekites raided David when he was there with the Philistines, and they raided the place they were staying in, the place called Ziglag. They burnt the city. They took away everything they could, including every child and woman and girl that was belonging to David and his army. And when they returned from a battle and they were standing amongst the ashes of the city, David looked around him and he could see the way these people were thinking. And they were ready to turn on him because of what and where he had brought them. That's how low it got with David. But now, everything has turned round. He has had remarkable deliverances from God. He has seen and he's experienced God time and again breaking into his life, delivering him out of corners that he could never escape from himself. He saw God's hand at work and providing for him in remarkable ways where there was no indication a moment before of that provision being made. He had a tremendous diary of spiritual experiences. He had a tremendous memory of what God had been to him and what God had done for him. And he's brought all of these things together. The way in which God had saved him and protected him and delivered him from the hand of Saul. And now he's putting it all together in this chapter. Feeding his praise. Feeding his worship. And that's what gives depth to these words. When you read them time and again, you find that this isn't just simply somebody reading any old chapter or any old book. When you read these chapters, and when you read this word and these verses, you find that there's an intensity, there's a passion in what David is saying. And it comes because piling on top one upon the other, he's using his memory to stimulate his faith and his praise as he remembers the countless things that God has done for him. At one time, everything was piling in on top of him. But God brought him out of it in the most remarkable of ways. Looking back over these days then, over the problems he faced and the way the Lord delivered him, he's now praising, worshipping his God. David has been delivered from David. If we just want to put down a historical marker, whereabouts in David's life might these words have been written and might this event taken place? When you go back earlier in 2 Samuel to chapter 7, that's the chapter where David and Nathan are talking away there, and they're talking about building the temple for God because he's dwelling within curtains and everyone else has a substantial place to stay. And when it describes the scene at that time, we're told that they had peace. There was no more war, no more hostility. And that may well be the marker in history where David composed these words that are now for us in praise of his God. And I want therefore simply tonight to look at one or two thoughts, not much, out of these verses for ourselves this evening. But what I want us to think of especially is the way in which his praise is welling up from within him. The way in which this praise he's got for God is outbursting. It's so intense, it's so passionate. He's excited about worshipping God. When you think of excitement, especially in a crowd, it's Yes, it's intense, but it also can be infectious. And David, as we said, is piling up so many different ways in which God has delivered him and saved him. When you go through these first few verses, you find that there's 8 different ways or names in which God is described in the experience of David. He is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. And so it goes on. And every one of these simple words are but a key to open up a memory that David had. An experience that he had of God saving him and redeeming him. And as he piles all these names together in 2 verses, there's behind them, underneath them, a huge raft of experiences that passionately drives him as he worships his God. They are still real. They're still fresh in his memory. The emotions and the experiences haven't faded yet and been relegated to the back shelf. There's still a ripple across his life every time he thinks of these words and the experiences that are associated with them. His deliverances are still warm in his soul. They're still strong in his life. And they explain why he's so passionate and excited about worshiping God. He tells us there in verse 15, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. He knows that he was helpless and hopeless against that enemy. It wasn't armies, it wasn't captains that delivered him. It was the Lord his God who saved him. And as all of these come together then, and as he sees God as his savior and his redeemer and his fighter, his defender, as he sees God clothed in so many different colors and garments out of all of these experiences, David is lost for words. He thinks and he says that words are so feeble to carry what he wants to say. He's frustrated because they're so poor to explain what he wants to say about his God. He wants a bigger, better, higher picture of God. He wants to show God in all of his glory and his beauty and his magnificence for his people. Perhaps today, David would be a stranger in many a church. Perhaps that kind of emphasis and focus is rare in our land. There's so much emphasis today upon church programs and church structures and renewing this and doing that again in a different way. The emphasis we get today is equipping God's people and enabling God's people to do this and to do that and go there. The focus is upon man's activity rather than on God's activity. For those of you into history, the Battle of Agincourt in 1415, where Henry V won a great victory. And after the victory was won, Henry V knelt down. And as he did, he made all his army follow him. And they sang the words of Psalm 115. Not to us, not to us, but take glory unto thy name alone. The outpouring of praise and the acknowledgement of God. That's what Henry V did. And that's what David is doing here. He's building up all his memories. And as he thinks of them, as they come home to him, this excitement builds and his face shines and he's radiant. Pouring his soul out. I will call on the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This is not an austere, distant God that David is commending to us and worshipping before us. Here we have God in all of his glory, God in his loving kindness and his suffering, long suffering and his patience in dealing with David. The abundance of his goodness and of his truth and of his mercy to David. A God who is faithful to his promises to David. A God who is all of these things to his people still today. Why then was David so enthusiastic and excited about worshipping God? What is it about David here that explains this passion and this praise? Let me suggest two or three thoughts. First of all, David's life was always on the edge. David's life was always on the edge. He was always walking a narrow path, and on either side there were fearful drops. He was constantly aware of great danger, his constant companion. He wasn't in that kind of a situation, just one off. But it was the continual beat of his life. That's the way he always was. You go back to what he said right there at the beginning, that one day I will perish at the hand of Saul. Well, he said something very similar in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. He says, I am but one step. I am but one step away from death. That's how fragile he looked upon and judged himself to be. That's how vulnerable and exposed he thought he was. Life for David was on the edge. It always seemed like that. Threat lingered with him. Always. There was no respite. There was no relief for him. It was wave upon wave on wave. Go back to 1 Samuel 18 and go through these chapters right through to 20, 25, 30. And you'll find time and again this coming out in your reading. How many times was David threatened by a javelin? How many times was David boxed in a cave? How many times was David chased across the desert, hounded by crack troops? How many times did Saul send hunting parties out trying to capture David? His life was constantly on the edge. We have a saying, do we not? A proverb, out of the frying pan into the fire. Well, that would seem to describe David's life. Out of one experience, and it wasn't as if he was going to get respite and R&R. Out of the frying pan into another problem, into another difficulty. Now, can you imagine the toll that that would make and take? The emotional trauma, the wearing down. Can you imagine what David was like, having to live underneath that kind of intense pressure, day upon day upon day? We sometimes have pressure like that for a moment, or just for a shortened time in our own lives. We might find sometimes, yes, that our life might be on the edge, just for a little while. But what we think comes to us, David had for a long, long time. And out of that experience of life being on the edge, we are told here, God saved me. God delivered me. And if you go back to Luke chapter 7, I think it is, the end of that chapter, you have the description of a woman there. And it said of her, she who is much forgiven, the same loves much. And if that association applies to that experience of forgiveness, so that same association applies for deliverance also, from danger as David experienced it. He knew it day after day, year in, year out. And God kept him safe. And that intensifies and gives passion and depth to his praise of his God. And yes, for ourselves also. We may not be walking the same edge as David had to, but there are times when we are similar to him. Our life is on the edge and we're under threat and everything's bearing down upon us. And the Lord delivers and sets us free. So, the first thing about this passionate praise is his life was on the edge. But if his life was on the edge, the second thing that we must immediately put side by side with that was that not only his life on the edge, but his life was in his hands. His life was in the hands of his God. In many of these situations which we've just described in the life of David, David prayed. And we're told here that his prayer reached the ear of God. Verse 7. And we are reminded of the same experience as we heard it in Psalm 34 this morning at verse 15. God's eye is upon his people. God's ear is inclined to their cry. And this morning it was the simple cry, the feeblest cry of a baby immediately stirs a mother to tend to that child. Here, something different is happening. Here, David cries out to heaven. And in the heavens, as on the earth, the alarm is raised that somebody is missing. Or somebody is in danger. And as soon as that is made known, the fiery cross goes through the land. And the clans are raised up. The phone is busy and the family are informed and there's a mobilizing of all who are interested and concerned. Friends, family, community. And so it is when the cry of David reaches the courts of heaven. David's in trouble. There is a deploying. On the part of God, there is a deploying of the thunder and the lightning. There's a deploying of the resources of heaven. There's this sending forth of all of God's resources on David's behalf. But that's not enough. You come to verse 11 and it says, he rode on a cherub and did fly and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. It wasn't enough that God deployed all the resources of heaven on behalf of David, his friend. Here we are told the amazing thing that God himself bestirred himself for the deliverance of David. Yes, every agency, every resource of heaven sent out. We're told here it was as if Sinai happened all over again. The commitment and the deployment on the scale to bring Israel out of Egypt. To bring them safe across the Red Sea. That's the kind of deployment that we read of in Exodus. And the way it's spoken about here, that's almost the same kind of deployment that is sent by heaven on behalf of David, a child of God. But it's not as obvious. And that's the great comfort that we're going to latch on to soon. That's the kind of God that we have. And therefore, we can go back with that kind of understanding from the life of David. We can go back and read our own life again. Read it again in the light of verses 8 through to 11. And we can there be reminded of something we saw again this morning. The way in which we were reminded in Psalm 34 of the spiritual dimensions of a physical world. The way in which there are spiritual resources deployed around God's people that were we to deny them or to cut them out of our thinking makes us all the poorer for it. Here again we have the same kind of truth given to us. There is deployed around God's people spiritual resources that we neglect at our peril. There we can recognize them for our comfort. The same kind of intervention that God had on David's behalf. We can therefore gather together as we read our life in that light. We can gather together precious experiences. Think of it like this. Whenever the spear was thrown and missed David, there was no earthquake. There was no earthquake when that happened. But we're told here, the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook because God was wroth. The intervention of God to save and deliver David was on that scale. A shaking and a trembling. Or again, we're told David was boxed into a cave. And how was he delivered and how was he set free from that tight corner? A message came, the Philistines are coming. And so Saul had to retreat. That's all it was on a human level. There was no thunder, but we're told that's exactly what it was like. Smoke went up out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. He rode upon a cherub, and we're told that he thundered, his voice speaking to defend David. So therefore read our lives. Read now our lives from the perspective of heaven. Read our lives bringing into the picture the actions of God to defend his people. And we have a very, very rich image indeed. A very rich stimulus to praise and to worship our God. David himself tells us this earlier on in chapter 4. As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity. That's what God has done. His life was on the edge, but his life was in the hands of God. And there was the deployment of God's resources and of God himself whenever one of his was in danger. And that same commitment and that same truth stands still for us today. Whenever we are in danger, any one of God's people are in danger, today, there is that same deployment to protect, preserve, deliver. And David knew it. And because he knew it as a reality in his life, so we have that passion in the way he praises his God here. Life was on the edge. Life was in the hands of God. One third thought we have, life, his life, was at peace. Despite how other people might read him, despite what other people might say about him, David was not in any danger, or at least danger that threatened him finally and fully. We're told here in verse 17, God sent from above. What's that but the deployment of heaven? He took me, he drew me out of many waters. God has rescued me out of so many difficult situations. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. They were ready to cut him down, but the Lord protected him and preserved him. And then we have verse 20. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in a cave? How it would be to run and be always on the run? We would say today, how would it be to be constantly living out of a suitcase? In cramped and confined circumstances and situations. That's what David was like when his life was on the edge. But then God intervened and God brought him peace. And what did God give to him? But he brought him into a large place. A place of safety and a place of relaxation and peace. And all because he delighted in David. His life was brought to peace, quietness and rest when God intervened and delivered him. And as he knew, yes, what it was to be on the run, as he knew, yes, what it was for God to intervene on his behalf, as he knew then God's blessings coming upon him, again you have a third dimension to explain the praise and the worship of David. The tremendous largeness of God's blessings bestowed. Full measure pressed down and running over. There's nothing grudging, there's nothing reluctant, there's nothing in any way slow in the blessings God gives to his people. He delights in his own, and he gives every good and every perfect gift to them. And as we receive good things from his hand, so also we can praise him as David did. To be sure, we do not have our life on the edge as he was. Maybe in other countries they do. But not with us yet, at least. But we might know something of the intensity of opposition with things bearing down upon us. But we can do the same thing as David did. We can look at our life and we can read our details with biblical glasses and with biblical understanding. And we can say, yes, when we're boxed in, the Lord will deliver his people just as he delivered them across the Dead Sea. When a word needs to be spoken, and when a word is spoken in a situation where we are in chaos and we are surrounded and hemmed in, when God speaks in one way or another, That changes everything. There may be, for David, there were no miracles like there were for Moses or like for Elijah. There were none of these great displays of God's power breaking into a situation as these other servants did. Yet David saw and recognized the hand of God stretching out on his behalf as if it was a miracle every time he saw it. That's what David's life was like. He saw and he read his own days with biblical glasses and biblical spiritual understanding. What would happen with ourselves if we were to take the same time to review our lives in the same way, to pick up on these same tokens of an interest and care of our Heavenly Father when we are boxed in, when things get on top of us, when we find that things are just too hard and too heavy, and when we can sometimes, yes, every one of us have done it sometime or other. We may not use the same phrase, but it's the same thought that's behind it when we say, like David said, I must step away from death. When David said, one day Saul is going to get me. Yes, we've all said it, something like that, sometime or other. But what a great blessing and comfort it is to see these little tokens of God's care towards his people, and to set up, like they did of old, their Ebenezers along the way. Put a marker in the ground, a marker on the road, mark the page in our diary, and we say, yes, God helped me there, then, in this way. And when we do that, we're gathering fuel for our own passion and praise and excitement of God. We are gathering fuel to give us courage and strength for the future, for the days to come. But first and foremost, we have praise and excitement now. The outbursting of praise on the part of David. His life was on the edge. His life was in God's hand. And in his life he knew peace. Different dimensions and different stimuli to this pouring out of passionate praise of his God. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we again bless thy name for the way in which thou dost refresh us from the counsels of thy word, from the way in which we have light upon thy truth shed upon our own ways and our own days. And we pray, Lord, that what we've received from thine hand tonight might remain with us, strengthening thy people, helping us in our daily living for thee. Almighty Lord and God, thou who art the God and Father of thy people, may we know what it is to live in the light and under the knowledge that indeed thou art a covenant-keeping God to thine own. Come with us, grant thy blessing upon thy children, every one of thy family, wherever our footstep might take us. We know, Lord, that thou hast been in front to prepare that way. And thou art the one who keeps company with them along that way. And thou art the one who will keep them safe and deliver them in the end. Bless us, our God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When Zion's bondage gone turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. They mung the heath and said, the Lord great things for them hath wrought. The Lord hath done great things for us, whence joy to us is brought. As streams of water in the south, our bondage, Lord, recall. Who sow in tears are reaping time of joy, and joy they shall. That man who bearing precious seed, in going forth doth mourn, he doubtless bringing back his sheaves, rejoicing, shall return. Psalm 126, when Zion's bondage, God, turn back. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all, this night and forevermore. Amen.